She was the heart of the household. Maybe if she hadn't died, all of us would have been more normal than we are now. At least, I wouldn't be such a hopeless case. Do you see what I mean? I felt so guilty after that. Why hadn't I died in my sister's place? I was no good to anybody. I couldn't make anybody happy. Why couldn't I have been the one? My parents and brother knew exactly how I felt, but they said nothing to comfort me. Far from it. They'd talk about my dead sister every chance they got, how pretty she was, how bright, how much everybody liked her, what a thoughtful person she was, how well she played the piano. And then they made me take piano lessons. Somebody had to use the big grand piano after she died. I didn't have the slightest interest in playing. I knew I could never play as well as she had played, but I didn't need yet another way to demonstrate how inferior I was to her. I couldn't take anyone's place, least of all hers. And I didn't want to try. But they wouldn't listen to me. They just wouldn't listen. To this day, I hate the sight of the piano. I hate seeing anyone play.
I felt tremendous anger towards her family when Kumiko told me this. For what they had done to her. For what they had failed to do for her. This was before we were married. We'd known each other only a little over 2 months. It was a quiet Sunday morning and we were in bed. She talked for a long time about her childhood, as if unraveling a tangled thread, pausing to assess the validity of each event as she brought it forth. It was the first time she told me so much about herself. I hardly knew anything about her family or her childhood until that morning. I knew that she was quiet, that she liked to draw, that she had long, beautiful hair, that she had 2 moles on her right shoulder blade, and that sleeping with me was her first sexual experience. She cried a little as she spoke. I could understand why she would need to cry. I held her and stroked her hair.
If she had lived, I'm sure you would have loved her,
said Kumiko.
Everybody loved her. Love at first sight.
Maybe so, I said. But you're the one I happen to be in love with. It's really very simple, you know. It's just you and me. Your sister's got nothing to do with it. For a while, Kumiko lay there thinking. 7:30 on Sunday morning, a time when everything sounds soft and hollow. I listen to the pigeons shuffling across my apartment roof, to someone calling a dog in the distance. Kumiko stared at a single spot on the ceiling for the longest time.
Tell me, she said at last. Do you like cats?
Crazy about them, I said. Always had one when I was a kid. I played with it constantly, even slept with it.
Lucky you. I was dying to have a cat, but they wouldn't let me. My mother hated them. Not once in my life have I managed to get something I really wanted. Not once. Can you believe it? You can't understand what it's like to live like that. When you get used to that kind of life, of never having anything you want, and you stop knowing what it is you want.
I took her hand. Maybe it's been like that for you till now, but you're not a kid anymore. You have the right to choose your own life. You can start again. If you want a cat, all you have to do is choose a life in which you can have a cat. It's simple. It's your right. Right? Her eyes stayed locked on mine. She said.
Right.
A few months later, Kumiko and I were talking about marriage. If the childhood that Kumiko spent in that house was warped and difficult, Noboru Wataya's boyhood there was strangely distorted in another sense. The parents were mad about their only son, but they didn't merely shower him with affection, they demanded certain things of him as well. The father was convinced that the only way to live a full life in Japanese society was to earn the highest possible marks and to shove aside anyone and everyone standing in your path to the top. He believed this with utter conviction. It was shortly after I had married his daughter that I heard these very words from the man himself. All men are not